This is Get Lit with Literature with Monk, and there's more at allbook-books.com and my Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines. A while ago, I got a book, The Myth of the Machine by Lewis Mumford, 1966 Harcourt, Brace & World publisher. I had heard a lot of good things about how important his analysis and research and writing is. Picked it up the other day. Read a little chapter or section called The Course of Empire. So I wanted to just go on that topic. And one of his classic well-known phrases is the mega machine. The one lasting contribution of the mega machine was the myth of the machine itself. The notion that this machine was, by its very nature, absolutely irresistible. And yet, provided one did not oppose it, ultimately beneficent. That magical spell still enthralls both the controllers and the mass victims of the mega machine today. Now that just sums up a lot, I think. And it makes one stop and think about the mega machine. By other phrases, society, civilization, the system. That's just how the way the world works. These labels, you know, progress, modernization, keeping up with the Joneses, all these phrases that we have to say, this is the way it is, and this is the best we can do. And I think that's what he's saying, is that is some of the spell of the, not only the havoc that it wreaks, but the mega machine, the myth of the mega machine itself. Because if people do not even question the whole structure of the machine from the get-go, then it's just nothing deeper is going to happen much. The very success of the mega machine reinforced dangerous potentialities that had hitherto been kept in check by sheer human weakness. The inherent infirmity of this whole power system lies exposed in the fact that kings, exalted above all other men, were constantly cozened, flattered, and fed with misinformation, zealously protected from disturbing any counterbalancing feedback. Sound familiar? Just swap the word billionaires, corporate honchos, whatever. So kings never learned from either their own experience or from history the fact that unqualified power is inimical to life, that their methods were self-defeating, their military victories were ephemeral, and their exalted claims were fraudulent and absurd. Oh, that's, again, this is sums up what's going on today in this book, 1966. And a bit of history that I was not really aware of. I had heard snippets of it. From the end of the first great age of the builders in Egypt, that of the 6th dynasty, Pharaoh Pepi I, comes corroborative evidence of this pervasive irrationality, all the more telling because it issues from the relatively orderly and unbedeviled Egyptians. The army returned in safety after it had hacked up the land of the sand dwellers, after it had thrown down its enclosures, after it had cut down its fig trees and vines, after it had cast fire into all its dwellings, after it had killed troops in it by many 10,000. And then Mumford writes, that sums up the course of empire everywhere. The same boastful words, the same vicious acts, the same sordid results from the earliest Egyptian palace to the latest American newspaper with its reports. At the moment I write of the mass atrocities cold-bloodedly perpetrated with the aid of napalm bombs and defoliating poisons by the military forces of the United States on the helpless peasant populations of Vietnam, and innocent people uprooted, terrorized, poisoned, and roasted alive in a futile attempt to make the power fantasies of the American military industrial scientific elite, quote, credible. And just today, just this morning, I read this in Telesur, TELESUR, Israel evicts Bedouin village to build Jewish-only town. The Israeli police and the land authority demolish the only remaining structure, the mosque, with the aim of clearing the area to build a Jewish-only town, uprooting nearly 10,000 people in 14 villages and replace them with almost 20 new Jewish colonies, sometimes on the same land. Since the beginning of the year, there has been a 400% increase in the issuance of demolition orders. Proud to lead a strong policy of destroying illegal houses in the Negev, added Ben-Gvir, who was convicted in 2007 for supporting a terrorist organization and incitement to racism. Israel does not recognize nor show on its maps 36 semi-nomadic Bedouin villages that predate the establishment of this state in 1948. The Zionist government aims for some 350,000 Bedouins to abandon their agricultural lifestyle in the Negev and live in limited, impoverished urban areas. At least 190,000 Bedouins have already been forced to do so. So that disgustingly goes on. And then Mumford writes, in a word, the obstinate disregard for organic limits and human potentialities undermine those valid contributions both to the ordering of human affairs and the understanding of man's place in the cosmos that the new sky-oriented religions had introduced. So that's the Judeo-Christian, largely, as compared with the Earth-based spirituality as indigenous peoples and farmers and Kabbalists and such like are aware of. And warfare is a part of this mega machine. This is what Mumford highlights also. Warfare was the chief source of those mechanical inventions that demanded a metallurgical and chemical background. Yet after all these inventions are duly accounted for and appraised, no single one of them, nor even the whole series, proved so great a contribution to technical efficiency and large-scale collective operations as the mega machine itself. In both its constructive and destructive forms, the mega machine established a new pattern of work and a new standard of performance. So that did the book review a while ago, a bunch of shows about the trillion-dollar silencer. Of how ingrained into the whole network of businesses and governments and even nature conservancies and organizations that help people, the military-industrial complex is so ingrained into the fabric of the U.S. and the fabric of the world. So that's part of the mega machine. So as we each fight our little battles, that's something to keep in mind. That's my koan du jour, or maybe longer, is to look at what is it, how does one go at the mega machine? How does one try to find the Achilles heel of the mega machine, or is it just a matter of time? And Mother Nature is certainly doing some of the work that, you know, say protesters can't do, just devastating areas in response to whatever that's in response to. That's your call. But, you know, many will say it's climate effects, climate karma. It was like in Spain, some flooding with 100,000 cars demolished. So maybe it's not up to the humans to handle the mega machine, but I'm sure going to think about how possibly to deal with the mega machine. Or if not dealing with it, is also a help. That's one of my favorite lines from a John Trudell poem. We know it is our destiny to starve the beast. But I would say just look for ways that you feed or are fed by the mega machine. And some of it's just got to do it to exist, to live. But look at ways for getting around that, past it, through it. Avoiding it. So thanks for listening. Be well and peaceful.